We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Herbie, get me out of here. Let's
Lawrence
go.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Audacy Station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
Back to the fairy dust guys for a second. So I talked about Leori and Vaughn. Brian Goodwin, he's come here and he's been an above average player. His OPS plus, where 100 is average. Anything below that is clearly below average. Anything above that percentage point, above average. His OPS plus is 121. In the games that he's played for the White Sox this year, his slash is 259, 339, 463. He's an 802 OPS this season and gives you competent center field and pretty good left and right field. He's just out there, like on the street. This is a dude whose OPS was in the mid 700s and he was just available. And he comes in and he gives you efforts like that. We've been talking about so many good guys on this team that you forgot about your mean. That dude wasn't supposed to make the roster. He doesn't have a position. He makes the roster and carries them early on.
Make me a bicycle, clown.
Bass drop. Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and I'm here with you until 2 o'clock. My buddy Jim Ozarski is going to join me at 1. He covers the Bucks. He's from here. Is the parade going on now? Great. So Jim will be drunk when he's on the air with us.
He told me he is not there. He's
okay.
Not doing that.
All right, great. Then he'll be drunk when he's on the air with us. That'll be at 1 o'clock. We'll talk with him about the Bucks. And beyond that, so wait, there's like a bunch of reasons to have Ozarski on the show. One, we like him. Two, he's from here. Three, he used to cover the Packers. So he's got Aaron Rodgers stuff. Four, he used to cover the Bengals. So he's got Andy Dalton stuff. And E, he's the Milwaukee Bucks beat reporter for the Journal Sentinel. So we'll ask him a little bit about Giannis. I had some observational stuff that I wanted to talk about baseball-wise from both games last night. And one particular player, I want to figure out like what the comp is. Like I'm having a hard time like discerning this player's greatness away from other players that are similarly great. I know that that's vague. We'll get to it when we get to it. When we come back, we're going to talk about your meme Mercedes and the White Sox. And what happens with him next on The Score?
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
On Sports Radio 670 The Score and Audacy Station.
Lance, how do you look at the unwritten rules of baseball and kind of the way that Minnesota handled it tonight with Mercedes?
You know, the more I played in this game, the more, you know, those rules have gone away. And I understand it. The way I see it is for position players on the mound, there are no rules. Let's get the damn game over with. And if you have a problem with whatever happens, then put a pitcher out there. That's the way I see it. So can't get mad when there's a position player on the field and a guy takes a swing.
That was a bit of a plot twist. Because I don't know if I was expecting Lance Lynn to be the dude that came to your mean Mercedes defense at the moment. I want to try really hard to not make it about the just about the home run off of the 3-0 pitch and the subsequent firestorm that happened after that with Tony La Russa. And Jim Margulis of Sox Machine wrote a really great piece this morning. I urge you to go read the whole thing. I might pull a graph out of it and read it a little bit later on in discussing this. But I do want to try and do this properly and as delicately as possible. To catch you up, if you're like, what's going on? Like, I saw your meme trending. I saw Tony La Russa trending this morning. Like, what's going on? Your meme Mercedes put on social media last night that he was taking a step back. He was it read very sullen, his statement that he put on Instagram. And then there was him saying that he's out, you know, and there's some people speculating that he's retiring. The White Sox were made aware of it, and then they put out a statement saying that I thought felt very transactional and a little bit clinical, where they're saying, oh, you know, no papers filed. I think that there's a lot that's going on here. I do not have a degree in psychology. I want to be very clear about that. I look at this and look at the way that people have become more comfortable speaking about issues of mental health. And one of the last bastions of that really taking hold is sports. We often will frame discussions about athletes as being tough or not tough. And sometimes we use very small sample sizes to make the determination of a player being tough or not tough. It is inherently unfair. We all do it. I have trafficked in it. I will readily admit that. I'm trying to be better in discussing those issues. When you have Naomi Osaka step back out of a major because there were things that didn't make her feel like she could perform at her best, I think some people took notice, but there was still some of the old framing of what is tough and what isn't. I think that there are legitimate questions inside of discussing when it's okay to push someone on some of their fears and anxiety and when you need to fall back and allow for that person to vent, allow for that person to walk away, allow for that person to have some space, or in some cases, make sure that you are checking in on that person. The Yermin story is such a great one. And I think that if I'm being honest, I would tell you that the pressure of the great story could also play a role in this. If we think about it from the standpoint of, here's a guy who was looking for an opportunity to make it to Major League Baseball, to show his worth, to prove that he could play at this level. And by circumstance, by a weird confluence of circumstances, he ends up on the White Sox Major League roster. Not only does he end up on the White Sox Major League roster, he ends up being one of the best players in baseball for 5 weeks. He was Rookie of the Month. You could have made an argument that he should have been Player of the Month in April. He was putting up Mike Trout numbers in April. Really smart baseball people, Steve Stone included in those, said there's going to be a correction. He's probably not going to, the odds are not in favor of him being able to play at this level for a season just because of his history. And pitchers figured out how to get him out, and he struggled. As he struggled, other players started to warrant more playing time over Yermin, and then you get into a situation of, does he have a role? Does he have a role on your team? And organizationally, I'm sure the White Sox were like, is it better for him to sit here on the South side and get 5 at-bats a week? Or is it better for him to go down to Charlotte and get at-bats every day to maybe work on some things that weren't going well for him here and to get some time behind the plate, because that's a part of his game that if he is going to stick in the majors, he's going to have to perform from behind the plate at a major league level. Whether we're talking about game calling, whether we're talking about, because you know, he's got the arm, like, can he handle a pitching staff at a major league level? I want to be very clear in saying that I think that those are legitimate baseball reasons why Yermín Mercedes found himself back in the minors. I don't begrudge the White Sox sending him to the minors with those being the reasons why he was going down. And the other part is, as these guys start to come back, as Aloy and Robert come back, hopefully Grandal comes back, finding a place for him on the 26-man roster is difficult because he doesn't truly play a position. Now let me take you back to the great story of Yermín in April, where you have a player that tastes success at a level that he probably always thought he could reach if just given the opportunity. He becomes your favorite White Sox. For 4 weeks this season, Yermín Mercedes was your favorite White Sox. He becomes the toast of Major League Baseball, of the Sunday night broadcast. He is given cult hero status. He is given his own burger. He's doing interviews all over the place. And to have that success and then to start to see failure because of how humbling of a game baseball is, I think that that's hard. There's dealing with that failure and having support systems in place, trying to figure out where the support systems come from is something that's important to all of us that are just trying to get through our everyday lives. Who are the people that you know you can count on? Who are the people that lift you up, that are there for you, that are there to just listen to you bitch about stuff? That's one of the worst parts of Yermín being sent down. It's clear to me, I'm not reporting any of this, but it's clear to me that he had a wonderful support system from his teammates. That is clear to me. Whether it's Lance Lynn, whether it's Tim Anderson, or Lucas Giolito. I also think about it from the standpoint of a lot of the guys that Yermín was playing with in the minors, they're here now. So if you're thinking about other players that he may have formed bonds with that would have made it easier for him to go back to Charlotte, some of those players are wearing White Sox uniforms and not Charlotte Knights uniforms. I think that there's a lot of things that you have to take into consideration when trying to figure out where things stand with Yermín. And what happened to him after the situation in Minnesota is one of the things that you should consider. It should not be summarily dismissed. We've all had moments when a superior or even a peer tells us something that hits us wrong. And it stays with you and it lingers inside your mind. That's why I keep going back to the really great story of Yermin in April. Think about living out your dream on whatever it is, like whatever you have imagined to be your dream work scenario. You get it. And then it's taken away from you. It's not because you're not working hard. It's because that's how things work sometimes. And now you have to go back to the place that you thought you would never have to go back to because of how good things were for you in April. I think that it would mess with even the quote-unquote strongest of us to do that. I don't know Yermin. I've never had a conversation with him. But I feel an incredible amount of empathy for what I know of his situation. And I'm sure there are plenty of things that I don't know. And I don't think it's that difficult for other people to sit in those shoes of his and have empathy for him. To have empathy for a career minor league player that gets back to the minors, is succeeding, is looking at what the White Sox did and saying, well, you needed another catcher, right? I catch and I carried your team for a month. Why am I not good enough? Now, the answers to that can be easily discerned baseball-wise by the White Sox. They can go, well, here's why, Yermin. You struggled after the beginning of May hitting the ball. We do think that you could probably be on this team, but we need you to get the innings behind the plate. We need for you to get the at-bats so whatever corrections you need to make, you can make. Those are all justifiable reasons. I want to be very, very clear on that, on my feelings on that. But I also can understand how that would mess with you if you were him. So I keep thinking about the support system aspect of it. We've talked a lot on this show about how I think that Tim Anderson as a leader is, it's one of the things I just adore about him. He seems to have an empathetic soul when it comes to other guys. The way that he connected with Yermin, the way that he is connected with Billy Hamilton. Some people just have that thing, that gravitational pull. And I think TA has it. And I think that he has done an incredible job of sharing his confidence with other people. When you have a force like that in your life on a daily basis, someone who is picking you up, they're saying, it's all good, Big Daddy, we got you. And then to not have that, I think it's hard. So if you add, when you think about the Yermin Mercedes situation, I want you to try and add everything up. It's not binary. It's not, at least I don't think, it's, I don't think that it's Yermin got benched or got yelled at by Tony, got publicly ridiculed by Tony, therefore he went on a slide. To be fair to Yermin, though, I think all of us were like, come on, man. This is unnecessary. And one of the points that Margulis made in the piece, which I thought was a really brilliant point, was let's say that you think that Yermin broke protocol by swinging 3-0. The manager broke protocol too. So add all of that stuff up. Put yourself in Yermin's place and tell me how you would feel. I didn't like some of the rhetoric that I heard from people that are judging him. I didn't like, full disclosure, I love Ozzie Guillen. He is one of my favorite people. He was out of line last night on the post-game show. Because it's still that old framework of you have to be mentally tough. Baseball doesn't care about you. Baseball doesn't need you. Like, this is a person. And those things that you're saying are all things that he's been thinking as he toils in Charlotte. I have seen Ozzie be better, and I think that he can be better than that. But it's not that hard for me to be able to put myself in Yermin's place from what we know. And I grant you that there might be things that we don't know. But I don't think it's that hard to put yourself in his place and be like, wow, my life was very different 3 months ago. And now what? Back after this on The Score.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
There's some interesting NFL stuff that Herbie is saying in my ear that we'll get into inside the 1 o'clock, maybe. We've been talking a little bit about the Yermin. I appreciate the people that have texted in with their opinions on it. And a lot of them I disagree with. Some of them I agree with. I just think that I know that I'll say it this way. My mother used to say about me when I was younger that I was harsh, that I was a hard person. And then I got sick, you know, then I got Crohn's disease. And she said that softened me and that it's made me like a better, more empathetic person. So even though having Crohn's disease sucks, it's something really positive came out of it. And don't get it twisted. I can still be very harsh when I want to be, but I'm trying to default. And all of the experiences that I've had, whether it's being someone who hopefully has done a good job of mentoring people here or when I'm in the classroom, all of those things have given me a different perspective than maybe I had even when I was, you know, 19, 20 years old, where you try to look at things from other people's perspective. Like, that's also supposed to be the job of journalist. You're supposed to try and give as many points of view as possible, the ones that are worthy of being aired.
And to speak to that, Lawrence, I remember the Tommy La Stella situation. I was very harsh on Tommy La Stella, not understanding what mental health was and saying that he's a quitter, he's taking his ball and going home. You know, since then, I've grown, understood that I was wrong back then, and understand that you need to have, like you said, empathy. Walk a mile in that person's shoes.
Yes, but I also think that that goes to the way that we were all brought up, which is why, like, I won't throw Ozzie out for what he said. Like, I disagree with it vehemently, but that's how he was brought up in the game. And these types of things are difficult for people to navigate in real time because you're having the emotional reaction. Like, my reaction last night was not the reaction that you got at 12:25. It was very different. But I wanted to sit and try to look at this from a bunch of different angles and try to take feedback and input from a lot of different places. I honestly just want him to be okay. And I'm getting emotional thinking about it because I think all of us have been in that spot before. Someone said to me on the text line, well, the everyman has way more things that they're dealing with. Fam, Yermin was an everyman until May. He's a career minor league player. It doesn't get more everyman than career minor league player. If I made you famous overnight and then took your fame away, it would probably destroy you. So think about that for a second. If you got used to the attention of what your mean had, and then it was just gone, how would you react? You don't know. So I feel for him. And the other part of it is baseball. Maybe. And Tony had said this last night. You know, you get a taste of the big leagues, and but maybe after toiling in the minors for as long as he has, maybe he's just like, I'm done. Or he just needs a break. I'm open to both of those things. Goff always says, if you like it, I love it. And I've kind of adopted it. If that's what you need, man, that's what you need. And if you need to walk away, like, I'm cool with that too. My hope is that it's only that. But I think that it's important that the White Sox not just, and I have no doubt that they are going to do this, but not just put out a statement, not just text him. You got to go find this dude. Like, there clearly is a conversation that he would like to have with someone in power that needs to happen face to face. And I'm not saying that the White Sox should lie to him. They should tell him the truth. But give him that audience, because clearly he feels, it seems like he needs that audience. I'm going to talk with Jim Ozarski for five different reasons. I'll explain next here on The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.